Okay, so I guess first of all, I permit me to compliment you on having a pad. It's a dova. It's a tremendous instrument for growth to be able to sit together and to spend every so often to be all signis in yanim and to try to grow together. So I just want to be, I want to encourage it. It's a tremendous thing. Let's speak a little bit about Pesach Tikinyanim, and we'll try to speak about something that really is a bit of a different angle than normally is discussed in Pesach. The matzah is called Michle de Memnusa, and one of the Lashonis of the Zohar, it's called Michle de Misusa, means food of healing. It also is called Michle de Memnusa, it's food of Emuna. In other words, it feeds a person's Emuna. Now, that's obvious that it's not something, I mean, it could be that it's a school of sorts that, it's something that is, it just works miraculously in some way, but I'd want to try to understand a little bit something about the content of matzah, something about the teichen of matzah that why it is that there's a point of emuna that matzah, because of what it is, brings home. I want to use an idea that Sfas Emes brings out and develop it a little bit more in a little bit of a different way. So Sfas Emes asks the following question. It says that the Chacham's question is, what's the tam of the Eidus and the Chukim and the Mishpatim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us? Ma Chukim HaMishpatim Eilu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. So he asks, well, Mishpat has a tam to it. And therefore we're asking, what's this Mishpat? What is Eidus has some sort of tam? But a chok, we know, doesn't have a tam. So what's the Chacham's, what is the Chacham inquiring? The Chacham is inquiring, my Eidus HaChukim HaMishpatim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. So where is there room to inquire in a chok? So the Sfas Emes says that a chok also has a tam, and except that there's a certain prerequisite for being toyim the tam, and a person can be toyim the tam of a chayik, but it's a very different type of tam. And let's try to explain a little bit what I think he means, and so on. The every time I for instance, let's say I'm a chemist, and someone brings me a piece of cake, and he asks me, why is the cake so spongy? So he'll analyze the ingredients and the materials and the conditions made, and explain to me that when you take the egg protein and you whip it a certain way and you bake it a certain way, this is what happens to it. So I say, okay, so tell me a little bit about egg protein. Why is egg protein like that? And he'll explain that. At some point, when I get to an element, and I'll ask him, and why is this element like this or like that? At some point, he is going to say, well, that's how it is. This is not going further than that. This is basic. Let's take a different discipline that we're all familiar with, possibly. Geometry. Geometry is full of wonderful problems that we solve. And we solve them through logic, but the logic always rests on a few postulates that we can't go past that point. This is the point, and we start with this as a building block. So our sense of the Metzius is divided into the basic building blocks and the complex different variations that we can create with those blocks. So everything, a good scientist, a bardas, a person with seichel, has a very inquisitive mind, and he's going to look at everything in the world and say to himself, one, is this a postulate or is this a theorem? If it's a postulate, then my job is to put it into my arsenal of postulates, and this is going to be an absolute building block for anything else. If it is a theorem, if it's built on postulates, then I am going to have to figure out why this is true. The why this is true is because somewhere along the line it's built on axioms and postulates. That's the way I'm going to approach anything I see. That's the way a chacham approaches it. Because just like it is midarkei chachma, it is the appropriate action of the wise person to inquire from where does something come from, so too is it appropriate to determine something has no where, because this is basic to the world, and use that as one of the foundations for whatever else it is that he's going to want to build out. So in the world of things around us, the Chachma gives us two tools. One tool to identify the most basic building blocks, and one tool to use those basic building blocks and to move on. The world of Ruchnius has in itself a very, very parallel and similar construction. There are chukim, are those items in the Bria that are postulates. They are givens. And mishpatim are complex buildings built on those beginnings. Using those postulates, we can make an almost infinite variety of complex theorems coming out of that and applying to every case. So the world of chukim and mishpatim are both equally open to analysis in very different ways. Let me go a step further into the world of tam, which means reason, and also taste. And let's try to analyze the different tastes. Whenever I taste something that is a complex dish, so I use my power of taste to analyze where is this coming from. In other words, the hint of this, the sort of complex notes of this and so on and so forth, and that's done by analyzing and breaking down the taste that in front of me into its components. But let's go the other direction. Let's take this wine taster, and he is going to be tasting these wines with complex notes and so on and so forth. So first, what they do is they taste basic tastes, like the taste that they expect will be found in the wines. This is a pure cherry taste, and this is a pure earth taste and chocolate taste, all those tastes. When they have those basics and they're very, very comfortable that they have them down well inside, they can now use it and analyze other things. So just like when we get to basic tastes, we get to sweet, to salt. Now they've discovered one or two more basic. When I want to study tastes, I need to ingrain in myself the basic taste as it is in its pure form, and to ask myself where does sweetness come from is it's a stupid question. It's where the world of taste starts with. And then when I'm tasting this particular item, I'm going to ask myself what type of unique combination of salt and sweet and so on and so forth is it. HaKadosh, in the world of Ruchnius, Emuna is the relating to those items in front of us that are building blocks. Seichel has a place in Torah, and a very important place in Torah. And Emuna has a place in Torah, and a very important part of Torah. Emuna is the sense, it's the mindset I use when I hit onto something that I feel is a basic building block of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah, Tov and Ra, and all phenomena that happen, like Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we'll get to in a minute. I then, once I've identified those basic chukim and those basic emuna, now comes chachma and says, this activity, is it good, bad, k'tusha, tuma? How do I know? I reference it. I try to analyze how many of those tastes of k'tusha do we have in it. How much is there off taste over there, and so on. So emuna is the ability of a person to identify basic building blocks. It's not only we can't ask questions, we're not allowed to ask questions, we won't understand. This is the part that's meant to serve as the building blocks for the other things, where question answer analysis serves us well by explaining the relationship of the effect to the cause. But the primary cause, we study it to get it down. There's no point in going backwards. Let me use a little bit of the Lashon HaKodesh. Ma ha'edes ha'chukim mishpatim, as opposed to the word ma and the word lama. Ma means the essence of something, like the mehus hadavar means its essence. Mehus is mahus. It's a later word. It's not a Hebrew word. It's a few hundred years old, but it's a Knebri, but it plays along the concept of ma. Lama, which means why, really is an abbreviation. It's two words, le, to, ma, and what. Meaning, how do I associate this? To which one of those ma does it associate with? So we have in the Bria the things that are basic and they are essential, and then we have the things that are a result of that. We have twice in the world did HaKadosh Baruch Hu produce basic building blocks, and that is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a point of origin, and that was that. And the world is the world, and gracious to ask, how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring a world into being is not a question. Bracious, we have the things that were brought into the Bria, and we have Hoyer and Rakia and Desha and so on and so forth. From the next week, from the next Sunday, it's all about using those different elements to create an ever more complex world, physically, and a Ruchnius we'll see in a second. At Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reset. He did a reset on the Bria. The Bria had messed up, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed in some ways to reset the Bria. And therefore, he made a new Maaseh Breishis. We say, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodshei HaShana. Nisan and Tishrei are both Rishons. There's a Rishon of Bias Olam, Achlokis, obviously Nisan Tishrei, and then there's the Rishon of Achodesh Lechem. And that's why we had all these Nisim in Yetzias Mitzrayim, because the Nes let's understand the nace is an original act that has no lama to it. Everything in this world, why is there light? Because there is electrical stimulation of a gas, there's a filament burning, it follows this law, the other law, and that's why I have the light here. But trace it back far enough, I come to a point of, because this is the Metzias God created, and that's it. Nisim are those items, because they don't have a lama to it, how did it come about? It's a certain ratios, and therefore the beginning of Klal Yisrael is Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it has in itself all the qualities of ratios. One of those qualities of ratios is Emunah. Emunah means recognizing the rock bottom, the bedrock on which everything else is built. And when I look around at the world, I need to identify certain items as being HaKadosh Baruch Hu and given, and everything else lefi that. It's true in Torah. Let's give an example. There are many halachas that sometimes had seemed to be intuitively made sense, and sometimes not. Let's take something flipped around. Shabbos, for the longest of times, quote unquote, didn't make sense to people. I can't understand why flicking on electric light should be the end of the world. Today, it's the other way around. It's a non-technology day, and it's fakert, it's excellent, and so on and so forth. On the other hand, marriage was for millennium, it considered very clearly what marriage was very clear. And if you ask, well, why can't marriage be different than that? People would say, well, just because, just like it can't be night a day now because it's night, that's what it is. And we stopped looking at that, and then we started asking, well, what's wrong with it? That's not the right question for a hope. This is the given. In other words, and I need, just like matzah has no taste when we and this is what the Sfas Emes says. When we expect to taste in matzah something else, salty, sweetness, this, that, the other thing, then we're not going to taste anything in it. Then we don't taste it. Because we're looking to taste something else in it. Matzah has to be tasted as matzah taste. Matzah is a root taste. Just like you can't break down an element into other elements except by fission, but normal chemical means you can't. If I have a chemical, if I have an element that's in its basic state, nothing is going to break it down. It's broken down to as far as it can go, and that's how things are. The Chacham's question is to identify chayk. What is chayk? And the Sfas Emes says, and that's why ein maftirin acha pesach afikoyman. You can't, if you eat other taimim and mix it into it, then you're going to destroy it, because matzah is something that doesn't brook having other taimim mixed into it. It's that its whole mitzvah is you need to recognize its tam as a basic tam and nothing else. Matzah shir doesn't work. Matzah cannot have any other tam but tam matzah itself. So let's sort of sum up a bit and get a sense of a teichen of yontif. One of the most important, if not the most important element of Pesach, of the yontif Pesach and the Seder night, obviously most especially, is emuna. Matzah is called the Meichel of emuna. Emuna is not, well, believe this or this kind of, you know, A or B. Emunah is not proving point A to be right over B. All of those, they might be necessary for a person who's not there or has doubts. That's fine. That has nothing to do with Kira. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Emunah is a perspective that a person has. It's the same. Let's apply it to a real life situation. A person has difficulties coming his way. Everyone has its difficulties, some more, some less, and so on. There's one line of thought that is, what should I do about it? Okay. A second line of thought is, how did I get into this mess? Okay. Third, why is God doing this to me? Well, at some point, it needs to start with a given. Emunah is, there are points, this is my road in life. This is what I, now obviously, if a person does an analysis and he figures out he messed himself up, if a person, you know, didn't salt his walkway, and he snowed in, he needs not ask any more questions than, why was I an idiot and I didn't work in my walkway? That's not, but the real life situation, difficult situations and so on, as a person goes through life, there's a certain element of given, and that's emunah. Emunah means I recognize those basic points in the Bria and in my life, it's the same thing and so on, that these are the givens. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are what Nisim are about. Nisim are non-natural events, not just for the show of it, because we could have it. It's just like the first time that oxygen combined with water, and that's when it started. You can ask why. Well, this is now the new chayk, that oxygen combines with hydrogen to make water. That's the metzias. I can now use the dilemma question for it to follow. The lack of tam and matzah is to appreciate that sometimes we cannot associate that tam with any other tam. It is. Every beginning, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem means that Chachma starts with certain givens. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave. Now, let's think of what we can do with it. Let's think of how we can make it. Let's think of what phenomena reduce to that, and reduce it to that. But without that Reishis, and therefore, no matter how much you explain, I think a lot of times it's counterproductive. So Pesach is a night of Emunah. It's a night of Emunah because it's the beginning. And every beginning is not related to anything before. It's a beginning. It means that the phenomena that we saw on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim were Maaseh Bereishis thing. They were there because a world is starting and everything is a new beginning. A new beginning means it's disjunction was there before. And this is the Nekudas Haschala. That's what Emunah is. It's important, especially if people who live in a world where we're taught to question, and it's good in its own right, provided that the question is used in the appropriate place. A question is something which is a tool, and if the job is a screw and you have a screwdriver, that's great. If the job is a nail and you have a screwdriver, then it's the Rachmanis on the nail and on the screwdriver and on your own hand. Nothing's going anywhere. The Reishis and the Bria don't have to be treated very differently. We became an Am in Mitzrayim. It's our Reishis, which means that down deep, Emunah is our most central feature. That is the Mohus of Kol Yisrael, because our Reishis was born on that playing field of Neis and of Ashgach and so on. From that point onwards, we need to keep asking questions. You know, and so on. Those are all appropriate hemshechen from it. The tam matzah has no tam if you're looking for a strange tam in it. If you allow yourself to not think of other matzahs of any taste and to begin to absorb the tam matzah, then we have the ability to feel that taste. It's similar to or just did Parshas Parah this week, Moshe Rabbeinu knew the Tam of Parah because Moshe Rabbeinu the head of everything. That's how he understood these things. He did not understand it in terms of other things. He understood it as directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every other Navi had to hear it through a process, a translation. So I needed to understand where does it come from. Moshe Rabbeinu heard it directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he and the head of the Tam Matzah. Which was zeicha that we should have, we should be toyim at Tam Vemuna this Pesach night. It's something that's important both in issues that the world wrestles with, and many of them, where it used to be in the old days the taina was who said so, I'm an authority, he's an authority. Today it's everybody does their own thing. Why? So it should be a chizuk for that. It should be a chizuk for us in the situations of life when we need to have emuna, when that's the only real etzah for it. And we should be zeichet to be able to withhold our own pre-programmed timing and impose it on matzah, where we're just going to use some other paradigm, just stick it onto matzah, by being machni also, by sort of, by drawing back our previous experiences in time and so on, and focusing on absorbing the time of the matzah, we should be zeicher not to eat after the matzah kekayim, and we should keep the time of that matzah all year round with us. Chakash v'smeach, everybody. Okay. I would ask questions sometime. I would take questions, but I'm in a rush. But I forget to shiv damayim. I'm sorry for the rush. Some other time, Bez Hashem, we could schmooze a little bit. Okay, I'm good. Take care.